Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to Panelcast. I'm AJ.
This is Brian.
And we want to welcome you to episode 39 of the Panelcast. Since we took a little break last week, because Brian is sick and is still sick, we might have a little bit more to talk about. So instead of pointing out what we're going to talk about, we're just going to leave it up in the air and let the conversation take us where it may. So kick back, relax, and when we come back, we'll be talking some news.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. And now we're going to talk a little bit about some news. And please forgive me if my voice sounds a little bit scary right now. I've been sick for about a week, so I'll try not to hack all over everybody. There's actually a couple of news items that deal with the two powerhouses of the comic book world, DC and Marvel. Let's go ahead and talk about Marvel, because I think Marvel is the one that's on everybody's tongues right now. And, of course, Marvel was purchased by the Walt Disney Company, which is leading to a lot of speculation, a lot of people sitting around the water cooler wondering what the hell is going to happen to their favorite franchises, whether it's going to mean that some Disney comics or Disney, characters get their own comic books, or whether it's going to mean that there's going to be some sort of Disney-Marvel team-ups. There's just a lot of speculation going on, and really the only thing that I was kind of thinking was that we'll probably end up seeing a few Marvel characters in some of the Kingdom Hearts series games.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing on that one.
And, this was actually kind of something. I don't know if it's had been reported on before or if it was something that people kind of knew was leading up, and maybe Disney had been putting out some feelers, but this one kind of took me by surprise when it happened. Just one day, I get in, see a news story, oh, Disney purchased Marvel. And that kind of broke my brain a little bit, because I was trying to wrap my head around that. But I mean, it makes sense from Disney's point of view, because they're purchasing a whole new fan base. And so, I mean, really, Disney owns everything. They own movie studios, and they own animation studios, and video game studios. It really, I think, probably makes sense. And what I'm actually hoping is that this is going to be something where Disney is going to help Marvel stay afloat, because I know that Marvel's been having some financial issues lately. So if it's a case where they're just doing it just for the money and they're not going to fuck with the art, then that'll be cool. That'll be fine. So I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen how it's going to go.
Yeah, I mean,
anything to opine.
I'm pretty excited about this. I know a lot of people out there are scared or talking crap about it, what have you. But I mean, like you said, it kind of makes sense in that, Disney owns a lot of stuff, and most of the things that they're doing kind of coincides with the stuff that Marvel's doing, in that, they're trying to just put out a different form of entertainment out there. I see the Marvel franchise, they've been going downhill ever since their bankruptcy, putting out like 40 different X-Men titles and 50 different Avengers titles, seeing Wolverine all over the place. That it's obvious that they're not doing as well financially as they could be. I mean, as we're recently learning ourselves, it doesn't cost that much to print a comic book, but to get the money back, the residuals back on it is where you're making the money at, and so that's why they keep putting out tons of comics that they're doing. So I'm hoping that Disney, giving them the financial support that they are during this purchase, will help to be able to streamline all those multiple titles that we've got out there into better, more cohesive storylines that we'll enjoy as fans. Now, on the other side of it too, I'm also hoping to see Disney create a Marvel film studio, which will put out higher and better quality films than we've seen in the past few years. Maybe they'll trim it down, they'll be able to put more budget into it, and hire better writers, or what have you, so that we can have a decent storyline in our Marvel films. So, again, I see
this as... Right, because getting one or two out of 10, it's not really that good.
Right. I mean, Disney's pretty hit and... I mean, Marvel's pretty hit and miss when it comes to the films. Iron Man 2 is good. I still am not a big fan of the X-Men franchise. Fantastic Four was just ridiculous.
I don't blame you.
Blade was good for what it was, but I really didn't see it as a tie-in to anything comic-related. You know, so, I mean, it's...
Right.
They're hit or miss when they come out with their films. So I'm seeing Disney saying, hey, look, we have DreamWorks, we have Miramax, take advantage of that. We have Pixar Studios, take advantage of that. You know, let's streamline the film side of it and make it a little bit better so it can be built more financially abundant for all parties involved. I mean, they purchased Marvel for $4 billion, so it wasn't like Marvel was, you know, some new kid on the block or anything. They pretty paid a pretty penny for it. But obviously, when you put out that kind of money, you plan on putting out more money to make it worth the money you paid for it. So hopefully we'll see things come out in a better light. Now, I know a lot of people out there, the small guys, you know, independent presses like ourselves and Hightower Comics and so on, are scared that this is going to change the dynamic and it's going to be harder for indie comics and small press people to be able to put out their comics. And I personally don't see that as a factor. I think that, you know, we're going to see it happen in more of a almost baseball kind of feel where they have the minors, the farm leagues, and the majors. You know, so now all of us little writers and artists are going to be busting our ass to try and show the big guns that we deserve to be up there and deserve to be playing along with them. So hopefully we'll see better quality turn out on the indie scene as well. So who knows? I mean, it's all speculation at this point. This could be, this came out of nowhere, and we still could not see anything change until years from now. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and speculate all day. I think it's a decent thing that happened, and we'll just see what happens from here.
Yeah. And in the other side, on DC, Warner Brothers actually, I guess, got together with DC and created the DC, what is it called again?
DC Entertainment.
Basically, it's a sort of DC-branded studio to produce films for, you know, their comic brands and to help sort of push. I think we had actually done a story about this once before, but they are planning on using this to be able to push DC comic brands across just different media in general, not just film, but TV and lots of other places as well, and you know, keeping it from just being just comics.
Right.
Which there have been a few DC based movies, not as many as there have been for Marvel, and I think DC is ready to kind of step up and sort of get into the new, you know, the new wave of media that's out there.
Well, basically, what Warner Brothers is saying is that they want to take all the licensed properties that they have from DC Comics and use them to their discretion, not just in other comic books, but, you know, again, film, entertainment, the Six Flags franchise, all that stuff. So they want to be able to take that in a more serious light and try and kick some ass with it. So, I don't know. I mean, again, it's Warner Brothers has owned DC for all these years. I mean, we've seen some decent movies coming out of Warner Brothers, and I'm thinking more of Watchmen and The Dark Knight. So,
right.
Again, but this is all, yeah, this is news, but as far as how it's going to affect us and what we're going to see out of it, we can only speculate at this point as to, you know, what's going to happen. So we just have to have some patience and wait, see what goes on from there.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of strange because I haven't really heard anybody opining about this at all. Mostly, usually when something like this happens, people start speculating, like with the Disney Marvel thing. There's been people speculating about what it's going to mean for the two brands. On this one so much, I don't know if it's just because of the fact that Warner Brothers already owns DC, so they're just looking this as just another tool they're using to promote it, but nobody's really said anything about, nobody's really speculated about what this is going to do for DC or for Warner Brothers or for comic book movies in general.
Right.
So I guess, I don't know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see with this one.
Yeah,
as long as we can keep getting more Dark Knights.
Right. It seems to me that maybe they're just trying to do a better internal restructuring of their organization in order to try and improve on the stuff that they're doing. And I find it peculiar in that it came out, we're hearing about this 4 days after the Disney Marvel buyout, you know? So,
right.
They must have.
But they had already been putting out stories about this even before the Marvel thing happened, because they had been talking about this for a while, talking about wanting to expand on the DC name.
Well, yeah, well, I'm not saying that they randomly decided to do this because of the DC Marvel thing. I'm thinking more along the lines that they decided to come out and be official about it around the same time that Disney and Marvel made their announcement, in that they wanted some press as well. So,
could be, yeah, could be. Could also just been coincidence.
It could have been, but I don't see that happening with the two big heads. I mean, they're two big companies. They're always worrying about what the other company is doing. You know, what?
That's true.
They can steal out the other company. I mean, it's big business at the end of the day. So, who knows what kind of corporate espionage was going on? But I mean, again, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And this wouldn't be a new segment without me bitching about Blue Water Productions. Good old Blue Water. Their latest Female Force comic. If any of you are interested out there, because apparently somebody is, they're doing their comic biography on J.K. Rowling this time. Of course, creator of the insanely popular Harry Potter stories. And movies and merchandise and everything else. Well, what is there to say about this one? I guess at this point, Blue Water's doing what they do. They're making some money off of it, and I don't understand it at all. But hey, if you will read a comic book about J.K. Rowling or Oprah Winfrey, then I guess Blue Water is the place for you.
Yeah, you know, this one has to be one of those ones that are like, I can almost get behind on this one, because J.K. Rowling is somebody of interest, and it's actually would appeal to children and other people who are interested in it. So, you know, I can kind of see where they're coming with this one, but again, it's no big surprise that they're doing it, because they're just doing all these biographical comics that just make no sense to me. So,
I'm just saying, if I was one of the women being featured in these comics, I think I would be a little offended, because most of the illustrations on them are really bad. I mean, the drawings that they have for the women on the covers, I would be offended if I saw that.
I think I would be more offended at the thought of just being a woman.
Well, I don't really care about your sensibilities so much.
Obviously.
I'm just saying. Someone drew a picture of me that looked like that, I would not be happy.
It'd be almost scary.
Well, I think that's going to do it for the comic news for this week. I don't really have a whole lot, and I think Disney and Marvel and DC Warner kind of overshadowed everything else. So, I'm going to go ahead and cut this short, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And <I'm> sorry.
And we're back. And we're going to get into a section here where we're going to talk a little bit about the comics we've been reading, which, unfortunately, I've spent most of the past week in a sort of drugged-up, sick stupor. So I didn't really read anything. But AJ, what about you?
Well, the past couple of weeks, I've actually Well, the first week, my entire life and soul was preoccupied by playing Batman Arkham Asylum on the PlayStation 3. So I had no life whatsoever. For those of you who haven't played it, Batman Arkham Asylum has to be one of the best Batman games, if not best games that are out there that I've ever played. It is, the artwork is amazing, the visuals amazing, the gameplay is amazing, everything about it. I've never, you know, I've got a few tiny little bitches, but they're not enough for me to talk bad about this game. It's just an amazing game. So if you haven't had a chance, man, go pick it up and play it. I've seen a lot of my friends on the PlayStation Network. I mean, it's funny, we all load up and go on to play, and I look at all my buddies, my buddy list, and everybody, it says Batman Arkham Asylum, they're all playing it. So, you know, we're all doing it all at the same time. So that goes to show you how good of a game it has. And if you're listening to us and you haven't played it yet, then you really need to go pick it up and play it. And you can listen to us while you're playing it. I swear, it's okay. We won't get offended. So,
Basically,
you start off as Batman. And the intro is that, you know, you finally picked up Joker and that you're taking him to Arkham Asylum. Except it seemed a little too easy and Batman's skeptical. So he decides to tag along in the inception of Joker into Arkham Asylum. At some point during all that, you know, Joker takes over Arkham and, you know, takes some hostages, and you as Batman have to go and figure it out and tell him to stop. So it just goes from there, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of gameplay. Excuse me. A lot of fun and awesome gameplay. And thank you. And again, the visuals are amazing. I mean, they make it worth it. Though most of the time I spent in detective mode, so I couldn't really, you know, appreciate what I was seeing surrounding me. But it's an awesome game. So if you get a chance, pick it up. I've got it on the PlayStation 3, so that means I got it to download the Joker as a playable character in the Challenges map. We've been told that new downloadable content will be coming out on September 17th for the game. So it seems like they're paying a lot of attention to it, not just in its development, but in any future use of the game that's going to come. So there you have it.
I've been hearing a lot of people have been really raving about this game. Almost makes me want to get a PS3.
Yeah, it's worth it. Even on the 360, a lot of people are talking about how great it is. And, you know, not saying that it wouldn't be worse on the 360. I just mean, like, you hear it being promoted on the cross-platform base, you know? So, it's really one of those games where, like, you just need to pick up and play for yourself. Our columnist, Janelle, who writes on the column.
Gen day.
Sorry?
Oh, it's just nothing. I always said I'll step into the next gen one day.
Yeah, one day. Our columnist, Janelle, who writes a column for us, Janelle's Eye View, all last week, she went out and bought a PlayStation 3 and this game on the same day, and I haven't seen her since. So it just goes to tell you how good the game is, you know. So yeah, there you have it. Batman Arkham Asylum, out of 10 stars, I'm giving it a 9.75. There's a couple little glitches in there that I'd like to see them improve. The fact that you can't jump, and the fact that you can't just grab onto any item around you, that kind of like bothers me a little bit, but it helps you stick to the storyline a lot better. So 9.75 stars, there you have it.
Well, yeah, one day I'll try it out.
I'm sure you'll like it. A lot of people will. The other thing I wanted to talk about this week is I took some time amongst all my weeklies that I've been reading, and one of these days I'll make a list of what I read and tell you guys about it so that you can share my shame. But I took some time out and realized that the movie Whiteout is coming out this week, and I haven't yet to read the comic book, so I picked it up and gave it a read. And, yeah, it's a pretty good comic book. I'm almost impressed. I mean, it's, I don't know how to express it. You know, it's written by Greg Rucka. Yeah, the artist is done by Steve Lieber. And I'm sorry, again, I can't talk today either because Brian got me sick, that bastard. So, please forgive us.
Hey.
But, yeah, I picked it up. At first, I didn't really...
You wanted it.
Yeah, I wanted it. Shut up. Anyway, I picked up Whiteout. At first, I didn't want to read it when I initially, you know, had seen it in the comic book store years ago because the art in it looked a little bit too simple, and at that time, I wasn't into the simple art. You know, I was more, you know... I don't know, more detailed art fan. But since then, you know, my taste in art has changed, so I was able to get through this. Oh man, I don't know how to describe it. Okay, so basically, Whiteout is about this U.S. Marshal who is in Antarctica and is trying to investigate a murder before everybody takes off for the winter season, because during the winter, it gets so cold that they can't work, so they work on skeleton crews at the stations. So she's trying to get this stuff figured out. Now, having said that, and while I fully understand and respect the fact that this comic book came out in 1998, I couldn't help but read it and feel like I was reading 30 Days of Night, The Thing, and any other type of snow movie out there that puts yourself in this environment. You know, it gave you that feeling that was going on. Having said that, the detective, the marshal that's working the case, her character was fleshed out really good. All the other characters in the story were done really well, and the story itself is a good story. Now, I'm wondering how it's going to play out in the film adaptation, which is coming out again in this week, and that in the comic Whiteout, the main character is kind of, I mean, she lives in the snow. She's trapped in a place where the man-to-woman ratio is 200 to 1. She's a little homely-looking, you know, and very strong-willed individual. In the movie, the commercials, you see Kate Beckinsale as that character. And while I'm not saying that she's not used to playing strong-willed characters, she's a little too hot to be as homely as the girl in the comic.
Yeah, she's not really homely.
Yeah, she's not. She's far from it. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I know if there's like, I mean, there's going to be some trouble happening if she's stuck on an ice station with 200 other guys and just her, you know what I mean?
But then again, think about what they did with, what's her name, Charlize Theron in Monster.
Well, true, but you saw that in the trailers. I mean, I've seen Kate Beckinsale in the trailers, and she still looks hot. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Plus, it's also, the trailers have been giving it that kind of supernatural feel. That supernatural element that something like that's going to happen. So I don't know if maybe they've
haven't really seen any of the trailers.
I don't know if they've tweaked the storyline or what, but you know, I'm kind of skeptical as to see how it's going to play out. But again, we can only guess what's going to happen. When it comes out on Friday, I'll be checking it out and then expect a full review of it on the next panel cast. So having said that, if you haven't had a chance, pick up Whiteout. Give it a read before you go see the movie, so at least you have a basis of which you can compare it to, and you can feel our pain if it's good, if it's bad, and sharing our joy if it's good. So, that's all I have for this week, Brian.
Alright, well then I guess we'll go ahead and take a break, and be right back.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics, and I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. Again, you're going to have to excuse the both of us because we're really sick and we're trying our best to give you a decent show because we didn't want you to go another week without hearing our lovely voices. But at the same time, we're sitting back here trying to stifle our coughs and gags. So we don't want you guys to catch the flu via internet. So having said that, let's continue on with our final segment of the show. In this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about a couple more tidbits of news that's out there. Brian, you have something for us to talk about.
Yeah, well, apparently they're going to be doing some Resident Evil film reboots, which I think I'm looking forward to, because as I've expressed before, I thought the other Resident Evil movies were a pile of dog shit. I liked the first movie. I thought the other two movies were a pile of dog shit.
Don't hold back, Brian.
Yeah, not even freaking Mia Jovovich could make me like those movies, so they were pretty bad. And the third one, I couldn't even watch the whole thing. I had to shut it off after a couple minutes. It was that bad. But the only thing I'm a little bit worried about, because I haven't been able to find out who's directing these, is if they're going to bring back freaking Paul Anderson to direct these movies, they may as well just cut my balls off now. Because that guy's... he's one of those directors that's right up there with Michael Bay, where I can't stand a direct style. They just suck a lot of dick. and think they're awesome. You know what I'm talking about.
No, not actually, I don't.
It's just these guys, they've got these huge heads, they think they're just fucking awesome, and they direct these fucking shitty-ass movies.
I know what you're talking about.
At least with...
When you go walk into one of their movies, you know what you're going in to see. I mean, you know what it's going to be about. I won't say what it's going to be about, but you know the style of movie that you're going to see. It's all the same. Michael Bay, you know there's going to be big explosions and stuff. U-Bowl, you know it's going to be some of the worst filmmaking you've ever seen in your life as they rape your childhood as far as video games and fantasy.
Hey, but one thing I'll give to U-Bowl is that at least he doesn't care. He just does whatever. He's just makes his movies. He knows that his movies aren't great, but he doesn't care. He just makes movies the way he wants to do them, and he doesn't give a fuck about anyone else.
Right. But, I mean, you know what to expect.
But that being said,
these movies.
I will never watch these movies. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. There you have it. So, who knows? Maybe it'll be better. Maybe it won't. But we'll just have to wait and see.
It's just going to depend on who's attached to direct, really, because that's going to be one of the biggest things. I mean, yeah, the producers and the writers and all that have a lot to do with it, but I've always noticed, for me, the person that's behind the camera, the one that's directing it, is usually the one with the biggest influence on how everything turns out. So, I'm going to wait to see who it is that's actually directing the Resident Evil reboots. I'm sure somebody probably realized that they needed to maybe make some movies that were actually based off of the game.
I just find it really amusing of the fact
that... knows what happens.
It's really amusing in the fact that, I mean, basically the last film we saw was, what, 3 years ago? And already they're doing a reboot?
About that.
It's the same with the Hulk. You know, they're already doing a reboot. It's like, you know, oh, we admit we messed up, so let's waste some more money to make it right. It cracks me up. Instead of making a decent sequel that maybe can explain all the crap that they've messed up in the previous movies and continue on the franchise, they just want to go ahead and just wipe everything away like it didn't happen and go from there.
I don't blame them, though. How do you explain the shit that happened in the freaking second two of those movies, especially the third one?
It's all part of
Alice's I don't know how you explain any of it.
Could have all been a dream.
Yeah.
Or simulation.
Why don't they just introduce a shot JR storyline while they're at it?
Yeah, well, I can't believe you brought up who shot JR.
What? You don't like Dallas?
Like 30 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Well, I don't... I'm going to remain mildly optimistic about the Resident Evil films until I get more details on it, but... Yeah, other than that, I don't think I've really got anything else. We've already awesome. Covered the stories.
I was just reminded of the fact that I saw Gamer this week, so maybe I should talk about that here for you guys. Gamer, some of you may know, is a new film that came out with Gerard Butler in it, who is turning into just a regular badass. I mean, we saw him in 300, and he kicked ass there, and then this movie came out, and, you know... Let me give you a little backstory real quick. Gamer is basically based on the fact that in the future, the year 2034, a mind control technology has been created, which allows human beings to control other human beings. The movie had me cracking up. Half the time I was geeking out over some of the stuff I was seeing. The other half of the time I was just enjoying the action that was going on. And basically what happens is there's this character in there who is named Ken Castle. He's played by Michael C. Hall, which many of you may know from Dexter. And basically, he develops this technology and creates a game called Society. Now, what Society is almost a sim-like game in where you create these avatars and icons, and you go and you interact with other avatars and icons and play around, you know, in a simulated environment, except in this case, the avatars and icons that you're creating are actually real human beings that are just made to dress up and that you control on your own. When he created this, he realized, you know, hey, I've got something cool going on. why don't I create another type of first-person shooter game and see how that works out? And he does so in the game called Slayers, which is where you see Gerard Butler's character come in. And basically, the premise of this one is, you know, they use the prisoners, and they have 30 games to play, and if they win the 30 games, or at least survive 30 games, then they win their chance at freedom. So, that's what this movie takes you on, that journey, and it's pretty cool. Please excuse me. It's cool in that you see a lot of, like, I don't know, a lot of geek things. Like, when you're watching the society aspect of the movie, they have little word bubbles and thought bubbles over their head, like you would in The Sims or on PlayStation Home or what have you. And, you know, they have this one chick who's really, who's Gerard Butler's wife, who's really hot, walking around trying to pick up on other guys, and you go back and you see her user, and it's this real huge, fat, obese guy who's stuck in a wheelchair because he's so fat, and but he's controlling her, walking around pretending like he's her. So it's, that was pretty funny. And then in the Slayers game, you see them doing a first-person shooter, and it's very much like Halo. Even where one of the players runs up and teabags a dead player, you know, it had me, that part had me cracking up. But the only problem I have with this game is that it's filled with so much talent, and but you never really get to see any of them. I mean, Gerard Butler and Michael C. Hall take center stage in it, but you got Terry Crews, Ludacris, Alison Lohman, and a whole bunch of other famous actors and actresses that are in it for like 5 minutes. Even Milo, who is in Heroes, shows up as like for like 5 minutes, you know. And John Leguizamo is in it for 5 minutes. Keith David, 5 minutes. I mean, all these big name players who get top billing are barely in it. The other thing is, it felt very similar to Escape from New York, Escape from LA type thing. Just, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but overall, I thought the movie was pretty good. I'll give it about a 7. It felt like it was lacking at the end, like it should have been, there should have been more to it. It was missing out on something. But I had to appreciate all the little inside jokes that it gave us. Even there's a musical number in it. I'm going to give you a warning right now. There's a musical number in it, and it's pretty funny. Terry Crews does a great job of playing a psycho. We're used to seeing him as a funny guy. You know, the big buff black guy that we saw in Longest Yard. Everybody Hates Chris and stuff like that. White Girls. In this movie, he plays a complete psycho, and he does a great job of doing it. So, yeah, there you go. 7 out of 10. Pretty decent movie. Go check it out if you can.
I still want to go see it, so I probably will as soon as I've got some money. And I can't, you know, I can sit through a whole 2 hours without coughing.
Right. Now, the interesting thing I did want to bring up is that while I was watching this movie, there was a trailer for a new movie that's coming out called Daybreakers. And Brian, have you heard of this movie?
Not a word.
Daybreakers is this upcoming vampire film that's coming out, starring Ethan Hawke, Willem Dafoe, and Sam Neill. And basically what it is 90% of the world's population is turned into vampires. And what few humans are left provide blood for the vampires to feed on. Except the vampires are running out of humans, and so they don't know what to do. And that's basically what this movie is. The trailer looked really awesome and really inventive and really cool. So I'm very excited to see it come out. I'll be putting the trailer up on the site here soon, so you guys can check it out and give us your opinions of it as well. But I think that this is going to be one of those badass films to look out for. So pay attention, keep an eye out there. Between Daybreakers and Pandorum, I'm kind of excited for what's coming out in the movies.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to what's coming up, but it sounds like there's some good ones out there. And hopefully I'll get a chance to see Gamer before it leaves the theaters.
Yeah, as it is, I'm going to be going to go see 9 here in the next couple of days, because that movie just looks awesome as well.
What is that about exactly? I haven't been able to figure out.
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
Whatever.
So,
You just hate me because I got you sick.
I do hate you because you got me sick, you bastard.
I didn't even get you sick. You were sick before I even saw you.
You made it worse.
I did. I made it worse.
Yeah, so, anyway.
I'm whatever the opposite of chocolate is.
Shit. That's all I had for this week, Brian. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nope. That's everything.
Cool. Before we go, I want to remind everybody, please visit our friends' websites, BrandyAusset.com, who is also our new columnist. She has a new section up that went up there yesterday. She'll be putting out a weekly column now, so you can expect to read some of her, you know, babblings. HightowerComics.com, FourColorFantasies.com, as well as NecroSapien.net. Next week, hopefully we'll all both be better and we'll be able to give you a decent show. And that is our special 40th episode. So we might try and do something a little fun on the show for you. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank you everybody for visiting the website. Brian, you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, goodbye everybody. Sorry, we won't be sick next time.
Again, we apologize for the quality this week, but, you know, at least you can't get sick by listening to us. Unless you're, you know, me, who throws up every time he hears Brian's voice. But anyway, please click on our banners. Please, you may have noticed some changes done to the website. Let me know what you think about them. Drop us emails. Let us know what you think of the site and the show. Panelcast at Forbidden Panel. Brian with the Y at Forbidden Panel. And AJ at ForbiddenPanel.com.
I was going to say, please, if any of you out there want to do a Geek Girls segment, or you know somebody who wants to do a Geek Girls segment, please contact me. I'm having a little bit of difficulty getting another one set up, and I really want to do one. So, if you want to do a Geek Girls, get in contact with me.
Yeah, there you go. That's Brian with a Y at ForbiddenPanel.com. So, if there's nothing else?
Nope.
Awesome. For Brian, this is AJ. Everybody have an awesome week, and we'll catch you here next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.